At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of Comeback Stories. I'm so pumped for today's show, as I actually found today's guest on TikTok like maybe 2 weeks ago and was so moved by his words and his delivery and story speaking ability. I really always try to get close to people that have something that I want. So like, this is kind of a selfish move on my part, but I know many other people are going to benefit. And when you speak, I honestly, when I was hearing you talk, it kind of, to me, it sounded like a smarter version of myself talking. That's kind of like using the same words, but just like, really, man, I really appreciate your words. So our guest today has spent the last decade traveling over 80 countries around the world, working with all kinds of people, companies, and nonprofit organizations. He's been teaching and leading people how to heal their heart, awaken their souls, and become the most radical and loving, truest version of themselves. So welcome to the show, BC Serna.
Wow. Yes, sir. Thanks for being here. Thanks, man. It's those introductions are always like, you know, like teeth pulling of like, all right, let's get to it, you know, but I appreciate that.
God, let's talk about that right away. Like, I would love to. I mean, we're going to maybe get to your story. We'll get to it at some point if this has to be two episodes, but I would love to know right away that acknowledgement, that why do we struggle so much with acknowledgement, right? Like we're as humans, we're bad at acknowledging like the practice of it, both to each other and definitely to ourselves. But why do you think that is, that we struggle when someone is like cheering us on or giving us praise?
Oh man, that's a good question. I mean, you guys already know, you know, it's just that like, I guess that just like friction between like, just we're normal people. We're like, I'm a goofy dude who just laughs at jokes with my friends. And, you know, like I've been super, I guess, humbled and honored to travel the world and do what I've done. But at the end of the day, when you want to, I think the more you succeed and the more you accomplish in life, you just want to be normal and real with people. And, so I don't know, it just is kind of like that funny, it's like the opposite of what you strive your life for. Like you strive your life to have like the front of your business card mean something. And then once you get there, you kind of just want to focus on the back of your business card, you know, of like the part of the business card no one sees, like who you truly are.
Wow.
And yeah, man. So I don't know, man. You're saying that stuff and it's just kind of like, oh man, like I don't even know where to begin other than like God's good. And like I've been humbled my whole life just by like the grace of God, you know, and not like in a religious way, but just like in a way of like humbleness. So.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I think that acknowledgement thing, I think sometimes an exercise I will do on my retreats often is if somebody's maybe at the end of the retreat, someone's sharing something, we would do this like thunderous applause. So they would share whatever, a 90-second story, stand up in front of everybody, which is extremely vulnerable and, you know, one of the scariest things for many people to do, and get that thunderous applause. And they could not get back to their seat quicker. you know, or they're crossing their arms or they're getting completely uncomfortable because we're not used to doing it. But then there's a whole nother thing around the self-worth. Like, are we worthy of this? Or there's the idea of like diminishing, right? And dimming our light. So yeah, I love that we just dove right into it, man. But I want to go back and tell us a little bit about your childhood and what it was like growing up for you.
Man, I know you guys have a dope podcast. I'm stoked for like your guys' topics and conversations and obviously comeback stories. And childhood, I mean, man, that's a funny way to start of just like, yeah, never really fit in. I guess very similar. You know, I was dyslexic, ADHD. I moved a lot. So I never really had friends. I never really found like a core group of dudes. I just moved all throughout the country. And just feel like I felt like I missed a meeting. Like there was like a meeting on how to be a human. And I feel like I missed it in like third grade or fourth grade. And there was all these cliques of people. And I was like, did I miss something somewhere? Like, why do I feel so behind and left out? And I started school young. So like I was younger than everyone too. But yeah, man. So I guess that was like the biggest part of my journey of just being like, damn, I don't feel like I fit in or I belong or I don't know what I need to wear or do. I tried skateboarding. I tried sports. I was like, what do I need to do for someone to invite me over for like a sleepover? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, bro, it was a long journey.
Did you have like, can you trace back to an early childhood memory of pain?
Oh yeah, man. Shit, bro. I've done a lot of inner child healing work, man. I don't even know where to start. Yeah, man. I think when I was left out, you know, like when I started to be picked last and I was playing football when I was 11 and I got a blood clot in my brain. I got a concussion and I had to have brain surgery at 11 years old and I almost died and I missed like a month or so of school. And I went back to school and all the kids at school made fun of my scar. I have like this massive scar on the side of my head. And so all the kids were making fun of me and I felt like I was in fifth grade. And I remember just sitting in my desk being like, God, if you can make me invisible, like, just please make me invisible. Like, this is the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life. Like everyone looking at my scar, I had like 30 stitches. It was ugly. It was nasty. And yeah, that moment just wanting to be invisible kind of lived with a decade or so of just like that kind of tenderness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, our stories kind of sound identical as far as like the source of like, I feel like an alien here in this world and in these environments I'm always in. That's what I always talk about. Like the first episode we did on the podcast, Donnie interviewed me and I said, you know, growing up for me was confusing because, you know, here I am as, you know, this black kid with, first group of friends are white. They're in his neighborhood, kind of just doing what he likes to do outside. And, you know, you go to school and everything, I feel like everything I did was just like seen through the eye of a microscope from, you know, people of my skin color. It's like, well, why do you do this? Why do you talk like that? Why do you listen to this music? Why are you so sensitive? Why are you? And it's just like, I feel like I couldn't take a step from early elementary school without being like, okay, how do I arrange every movement, every thought, everything I do to let these people know that I'm okay or let these people know that I'm normal? And it's very exhausting. And I mean, here I am 31 years old, still kind of dancing around that inner child work myself of really diving deep. Like, I feel like I've made some progress and acknowledged it, but as far as like, there's still some things I need to go back for. Like, and so it's, I very much relate to your early journey. That's why I'm just kind of sitting here just like, man, this,
yeah.
I feel like I'm looking in the mirror.
31, man, that's young. Donnie, how old are you?
I'm 46.
Let's go. Okay. You guys got some good diversity. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. What's cool is your business card analogy. I'm thinking about my business card and actually on the front of it is, you know, my information and on the back of it is a QR code for the podcast. So I guess that tells you who I am then.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a big part of, like I said, I feel like we spend our 20s just trying to put on all these badges. We're trying to like prove ourselves. We're trying to like validate, like we're seeking validation. And then we finally turn 30 and we're just like exhausted, and we just like start peeling off all of these badges we've spent our entire adulthood putting on, and we start peeling off friendships that don't really serve us anymore. And I truly begin, our life begins at 30. Like, I believe at 30 years old, we actually start unpeeling the layers of authenticity. And so, yeah, Darren, like I said, 31, man, I was at 31 years old. I was in the desert for 2 months by myself with no cell phone. And I found God, bro. You know, like,
tell us more, wow. Tell us more, tell us the story. That's amazing.
Yeah, 31 years old, COVID happened, LA was shut down. I was living in LA for like 8 years, and LA was shut down. So I built out a van, and you know, like those little vans you can live in.
Like Volkswagen ones?
Yeah, kind of, but like a big, like a Sprinter one.
Okay.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, so I built out a Sprinter van one day, and I left my house in LA with all my friends. I lived with all my friends like near the beach, and just drove to the desert and turned my phone off, deleted social media. And I was just like, I got to figure out what I need to do to evolve to the next level of life. And it was crazy, bro. It was a wild journey, man. Just 2 months, like pretty much almost by myself, and just, yeah, solitude.
What did you learn?
Shit, dude. What did I learn, bro? Man, dude, it was the whole journey of like ego death, of dying. Like, I've been on this journey for a long time and had many different ego deaths, but I think I was still getting through like over a heartbreak from a girlfriend that I had that I was in LA for a while. And I just, LA is so enticing, man. It's so distracting. Ooh. There's fame everywhere. There's women everywhere. There's like, there, it's just, everything is like so enticing in LA. And so I was just so distracted for like 7 years and extremely grateful. But I realized, whether it was women or success or anything like that, there was no amount of enough. It was just more, you know? And so I think I got so drunk on arrogance, and like my head was just up my ass trying to figure out who I was. So when I went to the desert, all my friends thought I was crazy. Like, what do you mean? You have like, your work is amazing. You know, you live on the beach with your friends. And it was just my coming to God moment. So yeah, man. And then in the desert, like I said, I found God in a whole new way. I knew God, and like, I used to be a youth pastor for inner city kids when I was in my early 20s. So like, I was like, and I lived with monks. I've studied religions and beliefs all around the world. And I've never, I've just done a lot of, when it comes to spirituality, but I never understood the actual church, in my opinion, is nature. Like, nature is, ooh, holds the answers, man. I've had encounters with the divine, with God, the Holy Spirit, but then I was in nature and I was like, oh, this is it. I was like, nature holds all the answers to the questions we have. And the way nature works, how slow it is, how patient it is, how it all communicates with itself. So I started leading retreats to nature. Oh yeah, you lead retreats to Sedona.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started bringing just groups. I like started bringing like 25 people on a retreat through nature after these 2 months. And I didn't know this. I didn't plan on making retreats after this. I literally went to nature for 2 months, and then God was like, bring people to nature. And I started bringing people on retreats into nature, and it was crazy. It was awesome.
That's amazing. Shoot, I get that, because I've spent a decent amount of time in nature. I've been to Sedona. I've been to a lot of places, but one place in particular that stuck out to me was I went to Zion National Park January of 2022, I guess. And just being in that environment and everything that you talked about, but also just this feeling of like, I've never felt so small, but also like never felt like I was more in the place that I should have been at that very moment. And like you said, like the distractions of LA or Las Vegas or New York or wherever you may be at aren't there. Like, nature is still, it's not moving. It's stood through time. It's, you know, forcing you to kind of sit there and do the same and mirror that. And it's beautiful, man. I always look back on core things that I value and things that kind of fill my cup. And when I'm not feeling all the way there, I can look down and check that list and know that, nature is probably not being stepped into as I would like to. And 'cause as soon as I get out there and get in, I'm just like, ah, like deep exhale, yeah, you know?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, you guys know. You guys have been. Yeah, we led retreats to Sedona and Zion and all those places. And yeah, man, it's just like the same thing as you go. Like, we're part of nature. We're part of the animal kingdom in a sense. And so, like, you go to a zoo and all of the animals are depressed and anxious and on drugs. All the animals look like they're miserable. Oh. And so you go to an urban jungle, the city, and everyone is on medications and coffee, and they've lost the vibration, the frequency and connection to their home, you know, which is nature. And so, yeah, man, it's so healing. It's so cathartic and therapeutic.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hmm. Darren, weren't you fasting during that Zion trip, or was that a different trip?
I think I might have been. Yeah, that was around the time that I started like implementing it into my off season, you know, and it's something that I miss because with fasting, I mean, I kind of inspired from a book that I read by a Christian pastor, but the way that it was presented and at the time of me trying to figure out just my relationship with lust in general and just like, you know, being attracted to everything walking and like having to try to manipulate, you know, and fasting was presented as a way to strengthen my no and to,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And strengthen my response when it came to,
what was the book?
The book is called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. By John Mark Damn. Comer, one of the best books I've ever read. Always recommend. Recommended Damn. Numerous times on this show, but I did it. I did it for a day the first time, and then I started doing 1 day a week. And those days, you think like, oh, you're going to be irritable and hangry, but once you get past the stomach kind of screaming at you and get into the flow of your day, like those little trivial anxieties that you think about throughout your day are gone. And there's like this stillness and clarity that comes from it that I just really enjoyed. And I did a 3 day fast once too. So it's just like kind of diving into that. And I want to see, you know, I mean, I'm still playing ball, so I can't do it all the time, but that's something that's going to be a part of my routine going forward because, bro, I just feel like there's such more to explore there. You know,
dude, it's the most sacred. Fasting is the reason Jesus fasts, the reason Muslims fast and Jewish people and Buddhists, like the reason fasting is in every spiritual practice is because your relationship with food is your relationship to everything else in your life. So how you show up to food is how you show up to every area of your life. And so if you don't have discipline with food, if you don't have consistency with food, if you don't have a good relationship with food, it just literally projected into every part of your life. Food is the most vulnerable part of our spiritual journey. And so, dude, it's fasting is the one of the portals, bro, to where you need to get to get to the promised land of that, man. That's powerful.
BC, I've heard you.
Yeah, it was on so many different things, bro, but he got to fasting as a practice of slowing down, as something to implement into it. And but yeah, bro, I highly, 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 highly recommend that book.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that one down.
I've heard you say that our mission, our number one mission, is to figure out what you need to do to be fully okay with who you are.
Ooh.
And yeah, man, just like keep going on that one.
Yeah, bro. I mean, that's part of the journey, man, that we're all on of just, man, why are there things? Well, I mean, the easiest thing is, why are there things we don't like about people in the world? That's easy. Everyone can list people they don't like, politicians they don't like, things they don't like about the world. That's the easiest thing you can do. And then people can easily list the things they don't like about themselves and how those worlds are tied together. And once you start, like I said, once you start peeling back the layers, you realize everything you don't like about people or you judge people is just because you don't like that about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you start to just have grace and forgiveness for yourself. And you're like, oh man, I don't like that about myself because of this. I don't like the way I look because of this. I don't like, you know, and you just go down the list and then you forgive yourself and you have grace for yourself. And then you look at everyone else and you go, oh man, I don't need to make someone feel bad. I don't need to judge someone. I don't need to change someone. Like when we were young or even now, like how offensive does it feel when someone tries to change us? Like it feels so like counterproductive. If someone's like, oh, BC, you got to change, man. I don't like this about you. I don't like this about you. I'm not going to be your friend until you change. I'm just like, I mean, I think the only thing that's ever changed anyone in the history is love. And if you can meet people where they're at, and you can love them where they're at, they'll find the safety within themselves to be like, all right, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to give up alcohol. I'm ready to give up X, Y, and Z, you know? And all of the judgment, all the shame, all the embarrassment we try to change people, it just doesn't work. It's never worked, I don't think.
Mm. Oh my God, bro. That's speaking to me right now, because I feel like I'm still a long way from feeling the best I can about myself. Like I still feel like there's a long way to go there. And one of the reasons is because I see a lot of like codependency that shows up. Like whenever there's little patches in like my marriage that happen, I feel like it's because of that. And that's like, I heard somebody say codependency is like a covert attempt at control. And it's like, I always looking at myself and kind of looking around the world. It's like, why do we, when it comes to issues that start and are kind of rooted internally, why do we try to control external things to make us feel better about ourselves? And I'm just kind of like, that's something I'm chewing on in the mirror right now, because I can get on here and say like, bro, I still feel like I gotta do, I still feel like I gotta show up and provide value in some way or otherwise. Like I'm still that kid that's still trying to figure out like, how do I just find my place out here, you know?
Yeah. And that's where, you know, guys like you, you just seek wisdom, right? From the older players, from the people who've gone down your road. And you just say, what would you tell your 31-year-old self? And every single one of those old heads, they're just like, just relax. Just like one day at a time, just be like, ground yourself in gratitude and don't walk over people. And all of these guys, man, the wisdom and the Tom Brady's and all those guys, man, Kobe Bryant's, man, you see like Kobe Bryant, like after he retired, man, became this like Buddha guru, man, like saying stuff like, we were all like, what? Right. And he became so embodied, man. And he became so like, just, I don't know, man, the way he was a dad, the way he was a leader, the way he was an entrepreneur, I think the whole world was just like, who is this guy? And like, where has he been hiding this wisdom? And all of these successful Kobe Bryants, Tom Brady's, you know, after they leave the league, they just want to let all these young guys know, like, you know, put your feet on the ground, pray, meditate, journal one day at a time. Don't get it. Mm-hmm. Don't get your head full of air, you know? And so, yeah, man. That's powerful, but you're aware, bro. That's the secret to all of it, bro, is that you're aware. So you're already you're ahead of 99% of the other 31-year-old or men or people in the league, because you're aware of what's going on. And awareness is the greatest gift you can have. Like I work a lot with people in divorce and relationships and couples, and I'm always telling women, if your man is aware of his struggles and his patterns or unhealthy habits, you have to like meet him there, because most men are they're just so prideful, you know?
Right.
Cool. Yeah. You know, you said it earlier about we have to meet people where they're at. And it reminds me a lot of, I say this in yoga, in teaching, like, let the practice meet you where you're at today. Mm. I believe yoga is for everybody, and every body is different, and every day is different. And yeah. So to know where you're at, you have to be in your body, and to be in your body, you have to connect to your breath. And that's why I think, you know, especially with yoga, you know, one of the main intentions always needs to be self-love, so that you're making choices in your practice that are rooted in self-love, not because the person next to you is doing some crazy shit. So, you know, you think you need to do it, right? It's like, we have to let the practice, and until we can actually meet us where we're at, we're not going to be able to meet anybody else where they're at. So it always comes back to self, and always comes back to this whole idea of, like, you know, loving ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yoga, dude. Yoga is the medicine the world needs, man. It is. It is between you and you in the, on that mat. And like, you're if you try to go to yoga so you can get a workout, game over. Like, you're already lost.
Yes, and, exactly.
And then you're in yoga and you're comparing yourself to everyone, and you're already lost. And you and the mat, and that's like, I mean, that's what most yoga teachers, I think, try to say, between you and the mat. But it is, man, dude, even those yin classes where you're holding one stretch for like 10 minutes. Man, that shit's medicine.
I'm thinking about when I first did yoga, how when I did it, everything hurt. Every posture hurt, everything moved. And now for me, everything feels good. It is the ultimate medicine for me. I would say in my recovery, it is probably the most important part. You know, I came from a recovery background in 12 steps, but I believe the one thing missing in the 12 steps is the mind-body connection. It's never addressed that our issues are in our tissues, and that the body remembers everything. And the 12 steps is so valuable, and there's so much freedom in those steps. But that shit is in our body still. And so how do we move it? We move it, right? We move energy. We have to move mindfully and breathe mindfully.
I mean, yeah, we listen, dude. We listen to the body. And I think what I talk a lot about my trauma work is, so many people think the brain is in control and the brain is the conductor, when in reality, what science has shown us is that 80% of all the information is our body sending information to our brain, and 20% is our brain sending it to our body. And so when you think about, we spend 80% thinking our brain is controlling everything. That's why we don't wake up feeling motivated. That's why we feel insecure. We don't like, you know, that's why we're negative, because we think this is in control. But when you sit there and you breathe and you pray and you meditate and do yoga, your body actually is like freaking out, and there's a trauma right here. And so the biggest thing about trauma is, you cannot think your way out of pain, right? So you actually, what I always say, and I'm sure a lot of people say it, is you have to feel it to heal it. And so, you know, just being able to go back to that little boy, Darren, that you were, you know, when you were a kid, and sit with him and listen to him and be guided by, like, just him being seen, him being like, not feeling like an outcast, you know? And it's wild.
Why do you think we close our eyes when we meditate and pray?
Oh man, I think our eyes are the biggest distraction to the spiritual realm. I think our eyes separate us. It's our eyes are constantly judging people, right? The skin color, their height, their age, their look. But if you ever done this thing, there's this kind of trend happening. I don't know how big of a trend is, but there's dinners you can go on where you're blind the entire dinner, and there's like 25 people in a room. And so before you go into the room, you get blindfolded and it's pitch black dark, and you have dinner with like 30 people, and you talk to people and you meet people, and you have no idea what they look like. And it's the most liberating experience you'll ever have, because you are connecting to their essence and to their voice and to the experience much more than your eyes distracting you from the pimple on their face or their hair or what they could do for you or if they're attractive. And so our eyes inhibit us from looking into the spiritual realm. And so it's very sacred to practice praying and meditating and flowing with your eyes closed, man. It's divine. Even when I don't know if you guys have done plant medicines at all, but even there's
just time, gonna ask about that.
Yep.
Even there's times when you're on plant medicines and you're, you know, it's like daylight out, it's like gorgeous out, and your like eyes are closed, and you literally could sit there for like 2 hours without opening your eyes and just be in the most magical place you can imagine. And I think that is just like the essence of what, yeah, of just what it remembers to disconnect from the distractions, you know?
Did your 2 months in the desert with the ego deaths, did that involve plant medicine, or was that a different one?
No, that there was a little bit of plant medicine in that, in those ego deaths. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's powerful stuff. Darren and I have talked about it. And when we started this journey, we were two guys that had been sober and not put any substance, if you will, in our systems. And through this process have just found some had some pretty magical experiences. And yeah, we've talked about it. We've had a guest, Don Bergeron, on our show. Shout out to Don. And he talked about it. I had done it, and you know, it's one of those, this was Bufo, the 5-MeO-DMT, and it was just such a profound experience. And I was doing my best not to shoot all over Darren and like tell him he should go do this, right? Because it's like so profound. And here's my thing with it, my experience for those that hadn't heard the story is, my intention in doing it was to get closer to God, to have a deeper spiritual connection, because I felt like I was talking the talk, but not really like having praying and having an actual meaningful conversation to establish a meaningful relationship. So that was my intention. And as I went into the journey, I basically sat in the presence of God. I didn't see a face, but I felt it. And I just started saying, I'm safe. I'm safe. Out loud. And it made me realize my whole life, like I felt safe because I was like, I was there. Like I'm good. Like I know where I'm going after, like it's all good. And so feeling so held and safe, it made me realize everything I've done, caring what other people think and validation was all for safety. So this idea of safety, and it opened up my eyes to women and how they can, you know, they walk out to their car at 10 PM and they don't feel safe. We don't even think about that. So that was like so profound for me. Like that was the experience for me. And it basically told me that everything's going to be okay. And I'm enough. Like it's fine. So you can't unsee that. So that was my experience for those that hadn't heard it.
Amen, man. Yeah. I think like most of us, most of our addictions, all of them, I would say, come from wanting to numb our mind. Right? Or numb our emotions even. And so a lot of us are in fight or flight. So we're traumatized as kids. And there's moments where like our parents are yelling, or we're in a car accident, or we're picked on at school. And then we just live our entire life unaligned from our nervous system. And so when we discover cannabis or alcohol or pornography, we just fucking eat that shit up, because it's letting us numb the insecurities and the emotions. And so we go as far as we can down that rabbit hole. And then one day we're fucking exhausted and we're like, okay, well, I'm so numb that I can't even feel the positive sides of life. I can't actually feel joy or love or freedom, because my nervous system's been unaligned for so long. And that's a lot of times where people start doing the work, start asking the questions, start feeling the emotions. And plant medicines, like you said, it helps you feel safe, because your nervous system can't heal. You can't heal trauma unless you first feel safe inside your body. So once this little boy inside of you feels safe, because he's a little 5-year-old boy, right? So he's fucking terrified. That's the reason he's numbing himself and surrounding himself with muscles and money and sex and fucking everything else. And so he's terrified. So then the boy feels safe to come out of that like fucking, you know, dark closet and just be like, okay, it's safe. And then your soul is like, yeah, you can come out. And then the boy's like, am I allowed to cry? And it's like, yeah, you can cry. You can cry, 5-year-old Darren, you know, or whatever that is, you know? And, and then, am I allowed to dance? Yeah, you can dance. Am I allowed to like be myself? Can I be goofy? Yeah, you could be goofy. You could play if you want. And this 5-year-old, for the first time in almost his entire life, before he was a kid, can play again and can laugh and can dance and can be goofy. And yeah, man, that's like the journey back home. That's what the journey is.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm curious what you would say to somebody that maybe is, because this was me actually, so I'm curious what you would say, somebody maybe in sobriety that is like never experienced plant medicine is actually like questioning maybe Darren and I's sobriety for experience going through this process, this healing journey. What would you say to those people?
Man, same thing I would say to a lot of these Christians, man. A lot of Christians are religious people or spirit or conservatives. They think it's a drug. That's what they've been told. That's what it's been labeled. They think plant medicines, that's the narrative culture has portrayed. And I thought that for my whole life too. I didn't try any drugs pretty much until I was 30 years old and mushrooms and during COVID. And because I know I have an addictive personality, and so I knew whatever I danced with, I'd be all in. And so, I was about 30 years old. COVID happened, March 2020. I went into the desert with my friends. Same thing. I was like, all right, this is either going to get me closer to God or not, and I'll never have to do it again if it doesn't. And if it does, then that's dope. And it got me the closest to God I've ever felt. And I mean, you can get extremely close to God without it for sure. But there's another level of your mind finally detaching from your soul, and you're in the present moment. Time doesn't exist, right? When you're on the plant medicine, and so you literally sit in the presence. Like I sat in rivers, man, just butt naked in a river with Jesus, and I'm like sitting in this river. It's like full moon, dark, and me and Jesus are talking for like 2 hours, but time doesn't exist. And so 2 hours in a river seems crazy to someone, but you're separated from time for the first time, maybe in your life. Plant medicines, I think the bad rep is a bad trip, which bad trips don't actually exist. The only time someone would have a bad trip is if they are suppressing whatever's supposed to come up. And so basically, if you're at a party, if you're at a concert and there's intense people around, or you're at a Halloween party and you're on a medicine like that, of course you're going to have a bad trip because you don't know the energy that's around you. You don't know, like, can you imagine at a concert and you're trying to forgive your dad and you're just like, wait, dad, I don't want to forgive you right now. Like, I'm trying to dance. And so that is what a bad trip is. It's you trying to suppress and control the emotion that needs to come up. And so I would just say to people, be open-hearted, open-minded, that this medicine is the cleanest medicine that there is in the world. Like most pharmaceuticals, obviously we know that route, and other DMTs, and there's the MDMAs, the ketamines. There's so many therapies out there that have now been proven in science. But I would say people open, I mean, nowadays there's documentaries on Netflix and Amazon. You could watch millions of films on like how incredible mushrooms are and MDMA and psilocybin, all that stuff.
I've heard you also say how our reality is created in two different things. It's attention and intention. So, it's always our awareness. You talked about this earlier. Awareness is the first step in creating any kind of change. It's important to have awareness. It's also it's hard work when you're aware too. When you wake up to things, like not everything's easy to do, because too much that's given comes great responsibility. There's like a knowing. I'm very confident that us three have probably been called like to do the work. whatever that work is in our families, right? To break cycles. And I think that's why we're here. But for you, you know, you said like your awareness about what's going on around you and then your intention to actually do something about it. That was like fire. So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, man. For me, I just try to simplify this world and this perspective for people. I think we get so caught up in big words and books, and there's so much to like, we think that the cerebral way is the way to enlightenment, or I don't know, like some sort of like the smarter you are, we idolize Albert Einstein, right? Like we're like Albert Einstein, the smartest man alive. Like we idolize these brilliant minds, when in reality, the people we actually idolize are embodied people, the Jesus, the MLKs, the Gandhis, people who actually didn't need to be, didn't need to flaunt, you know, in certain ways. Yeah, I just try to simplify things. So when I say like your reality is two things, your awareness and your intention and your attention, and basically your attention to, and so that way you don't judge people. So your attention to what's going on and your intention to do something about it. So like what I always use as a reference is you're in high school and you're hanging out with your friends, and one day you see a kid eating alone. That's your attention. So you're like, oh, that kid's eating alone. All right. Well, and then you're going to keep eating. And then one day you go, damn, that kid's eating alone. I guess I can invite him over here, or I can go eat with him. That's your intention. And then that is where you find your purpose. Your purpose is in, you embody your purpose. And so your attention, oh, that car is broken down. Well, I got an hour to kill. I could probably pull over and help that car. That is where you find your purpose. Your purpose isn't some sort of grandiose thing. It's actually just you embodying a person that's attention and intentional. And that's the formula of purpose. And everyone's trying to seek their purpose of like, am I supposed to change the world? And it's like, no, you're supposed to serve the people in front of you, whoever it is. If it's the person at coffee station or the gas station, the coffee shop, you're just supposed to embody a presence of love in action, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It makes perfect sense. I feel like there's really no true fulfilling life without purpose. And I mean, I feel like just with comeback stories like Donnie and I's story, that there was no purpose realized or stepped into without some level of pain, like things along the way that had us in a place of brokenness, hopelessness, figuring out just like what is going on. Like there's got to be more than this. And I've seen you talk about like 2013 was a tough year for you. Could you describe to the people that are listening why it was tough, and maybe just the experience that you gained from that year?
For me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Donnie. I didn't know you knew about my 2013. You're talking to me?
Yes. I'm talking
about
to you,
man. About my dad passing away?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, I didn't know you guys knew that. you said it. Your pain is your purpose. If anyone's searching for what their purpose is in life, you just have to go to what hurts your heart the most. And because I didn't fit in most of my life, because I never felt like I belonged, I've spent the second half of my life making sure no one ever has to feel like they don't fit in. So I used to throw events in LA, and I remember I used to announce on the events, like, no cool people allowed. Like I was like, yo, if you're too cool, don't come. You know, I was like, yo, I want to make sure when I host an event, I want to make sure everyone feels fully seen and celebrated and heard, because I've been to a million events where I feel invisible and I feel like I want to just go home, you know? And so that's my pain, man. And then my pain of losing my dad and, you know, turning that into my purpose, man. Like I said, after I lost my dad, I started mentoring inner city kids in Denver. And I would say 80, 90% of all my kids that I mentored for 6 years never had dads. And so I like became a brother figure, or even like a father figure, to a lot of my high school kids. And ended up getting my inner city kids passports, took them around the world, like got them cameras. They're like my little brothers for life. It's been a decade now. I just got the phone with one of them. But yeah, man. So you got to figure out what breaks your heart more than anything. And you don't need to judge people. You don't need to shame people. Like, I don't need to convince people. Like, if your passion is climate change or saving the animals or helping inner city kids or helping homeless people or helping kids in Africa get an education. You just got to choose one or choose something. And then you just have to stay in your lane. I'm not going to try to convince you to care more about homeless people than kids in Africa. You know what I'm saying? It's not a competition. Right. And I think a lot of people are trying to force people to care just as much as they care. And I think that negates the whole purpose of purpose, right? That we need to stay in our lane and we all need each other. And yeah, man. So my whole movement and like my kind of my program's called Pursuing Purpose, because we have the idea of pursuit of happiness in America. And I realized when people are pursuing purpose, all of the knobs that are like depression, anxiety, all these things that are like struggling with, all of your knobs get turned down when you're in alignment with your purpose, because it's not about you. And so you're just kind of like, oh man, this life isn't even about me. I'm so stressed and anxious and overwhelmed and depressed about me. But then you go help someone and you're like, man, I don't even care what I look like right now. I'm just like helping someone that doesn't have a meal to eat tonight. I'm helping a kid in Africa that just wants to learn how to read. I'm helping plant trees for the better world for tomorrow. And it's like, you don't even care what you look like. You don't even care how much money's in your bank account. You don't care how many followers you have. When you're in alignment with your purpose, everything of your worries disappears.
Mm.
So well said. I've always talked about how your purpose isn't static. It's dynamic, right? It's fluid. It's not like we declare this purpose statement. So I always said like that word discover, right? Discover is to take the cover off. To discover your purpose is what's been in there all along. It's not something outside of us, right? It's like everything we'll ever need is already inside of us. And I've heard you say it in the beginning. It's like, we don't need more, we need less. And so our work every day is to chip away at all the shit that's in the way. You know, you talk about the work, because the work teaches us that what's in the way is the way, right? It's like that the center of the wound is where our freedom lies. And like, it's cool because us three and that clip of you sharing about your dad was the one that I saw that, you know, you came across my feed, and that's what connected us. So you talk about like just how beautiful it is and being able to carry the message. And people can say whatever they want about social media, but if you can, and I'm not saying I can, but like if you can manage it the right way and get your algorithms in check, you get to like listen to people like you every day. And it's, dude, it's just like, you do this so well. It's been cool to connect with you.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, you guys both know this. Vulnerability is the way. Vulnerability is the medicine the world needs, because when you're vulnerable, like I always say, like our passions can connect us. Like, oh, you like travel, you like football, that connects us. But our pain is what bonds us. It's our adhesive. And so the moment you say that you didn't fit in when you were a kid, or the moment you say you lost your dad or whatever it is, we are immediately adhesive bonded to where, like, I don't care who you voted for, how much money's in your bank account, what car you drive. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. I just, you lost your dad too. I'm like, oh man, we're already connected. And so the sooner we can become vulnerable with our audience, with people, like I can make these videos that are like, you know, maybe inspiring or cool or helpful about trauma or like educational. I can make educational, inspiring videos, but man, the moment I'm like sharing about losing my dad or being homeless or like all these things, the followers turn to like family, and people go from like, oh man, I used to follow you because of your content. Now, like, I'm praying with you and for you, and we're connected. And that's the level of commitment that we need to with each other right now, because everything else is vanilla. Everything else is like fickle, to where like our followers will leave us tomorrow if we say the wrong thing, you know? And right. So what we're looking for is we're looking to magnetize soul family, like you guys, like soul brothers, you know? And what you guys are doing in the industry of like men talking about this stuff, like, dude, you guys are paving the way, dude. It's wild to think that, you know, so many men in your guys' fields are doing conversations about like who the best basketball player in the world is, which is cool. I love that shit too. But like, you guys are like, no, let's talk about childhood and plant medicines and healing and masculinity. Like, dude, that shit is going to change the world, man. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've said it's like heal the boy and the man will appear, right? What do you feel like for you I've heard you also say like the question that us men can start with asking ourselves or having somebody that we trust ask us is when did you feel unsafe or unseen, right? Can we talk about that? I've heard you use that as an access point, and I'm like, man, so beautiful. Like I'm using that one for every man that comes to anything that I do, because it's beautiful, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's really simple. Like I said, it's a lot simpler than we make it seem when it comes to who people are. And, you know, one of the videos I made, I talk about one of the first questions I ask people when I first meet them, or just one of these uncomfortable questions I ask, like, yo, when's the last time you cried? And I've been doing this for like 10 years, and I'll be at events. I'll be at like these big events in LA, and I'll meet, you know, people. I'll be like, yo, when's the last time you cried? Like right when I met them. Mm-hmm. And it just opens up this portal of conversation of someone being like, oh man, I was probably 6 years old when my dog died. And you're like, whoa, 20 years, you haven't cried. And then some people are like, when I woke up this morning, you're like, whoa, what's going on? And at the end of the day, humans want to just like emotionally connect. We're emotional beings before we are cerebral beings. I think a lot of people think we're very cerebral beings because we've succeeded in technology. But look at kids. Like my son is 100% pure emotion. Like when he is sad, he is crying. When he's happy, he's happy. When he's the most present, he's in the present moment at all times. He doesn't know tomorrow exists. And so someday, teachers start to tell him about homework, and then tomorrow exists, and then someday someone goes, oh, you look weird, and then he goes in the mirror and he's like, wait, I look different. And then someday someone's like, you can't dance, and then he's like, wait, I can't dance, I'm the best dancer in the world, I thought. And so every moment in a childhood, they are told they can't sing, or they can't dance, or they look different, or they're not smart because they didn't get an A+. And so every human, all you have to do is go back to those moments when they first felt like they had to dim their light, or they had to act a certain way, or put on a character, you know? And so if you know for a fact every human has that, all you have to do is connect to that right away, and in different ways with questions or anything like that. But, you know, when I talk to couples about breakups, a lot of the person going through a divorce or a breakup, they're telling me so much about what the person has done and what they're doing. And I'm just like, yo, I get it. I get it. They did X, Y, and Z, but it has nothing to do with them. Nothing. It has everything to do with how you are feeling, what you were experiencing, how you allowed that person in your life. And so you have to take that projection and bring it all to yourself. How is this a gift? Because you called that person in your life, even if they cheated on you. And how are you experiencing them cheating on you? Because you're not going to change my opinion about them. We're not here to talk shit about them. But how do you feel? What does that make you feel that they cheated on you? And you're like, oh, it makes me feel really like pissed and sad. Why is that? Oh, because when I was young, this girl that I liked cheated on me. You know what I'm saying? And it all comes back to the personal experience. And so everything that makes us mad or triggers us is just showing us something that makes that we're mad about, you know, or that we have an emotion that haven't been met yet.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I remember reading somewhere relatively recently. It's like the present moment, like the moment isn't bothering you. You are bothering yourself about the moment.
Wow.
It's just like looking at that is like, stink.
Yeah, that's it.
The theme in a lot of what this conversation around, I think, is just it's ownership and taking personal responsibility for your life and to stop waiting for the right situation or the right circumstance or waiting for that person to change. As my old relationship therapist would say, like, stop like trying to fix her and fix yourself. Like, be the change you want to see. Like, if you and another therapist was like, whatever you're wanting, just go do it. Like, stop complaining that you're not getting it and go do it. And if you believe in karma, what you put out comes back to you. And then if you're putting it out and then you're not getting it back, then that's some valuable information that you have to make decisions. But like, you know, I think there's that intention of like, why are you doing it? Why are you saying I love you so you can hear it back? So if I don't say it back and you say, well, you didn't say it back, well, why did you say it to me in the first place? So it's that intention part, right?
Yeah. And even them cheating on you, you know, it all comes back to self. You know, like my favorite thing about Jesus is I believe Jesus was the best at asking questions and listening to people, that Jesus asked more questions than he spoke. And so like if any human you talk to, if you can get really good at asking questions and listening, and I'm not talking like just fucking listening, I'm talking about listening to what they're saying, then you can actually help them get the answers that they need without saying a word. And like, you guys know that. And so it's just, and you know, and that's like what the art of listening is just like, continue to like dull down what you want to say or what you should say and just listen a little bit deeper. And then you'll just ask another question. And then at the end of that thread, they'll most likely come to the answer.
Man, it's valuable for anybody in any relationship, because it's people aren't going to remember what you said. They're going to remember how you made them feel, and everybody loves to be heard and everybody loves to talk about themselves. And I've had to, as a teacher, yoga teacher in the beginning, a teacher constantly teaching and instructing. And then about 5 years into teaching, I started coaching, and it's different. You have to take a step back. And I'm grateful for some training through Coactive Training Institute that they teach you to, like, the client has the answers within them. Your job is to ask short, powerful questions, you know, and the other saying is like, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, you know?
Amen. Yeah, man. Yeah. So it's powerful, man. And it's just a lot of, being vulnerable, being honest, you know, being transparent, like having men in your life. You guys have any, how'd you guys meet?
I was Darren was a coaching client of mine. So we had connected, and I was familiar with his past, and my past was similar. He was sharing his story on Hard Knocks on HBO, and I was watching it and working with athletes back in Phoenix, and saw it and saw this dude stepping up and sharing his story on, like, I did it in a yoga community in my hometown. He did it on, you know, for the world to see, and I'm like, I got to meet this dude. Yeah, and then it just like we connected from there.
That was 2019.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's amazing, dude. I love that story.
Yep.
It's cool. And like when we started this, like, you know, we are in purpose right now as we speak, because we started this mission to reach as many people as possible to remind them that they're not alone. And like, you know, when people like might project their image of what a man is, or like, you know, a football player, Darren with his helmet on, right? And like, we're changing the language of what it really is. What I believe it sounds like to talk like a real man and talk about these things and bring people on, and like a Michael Phelps or a Darren or people that think they have all their shit together, and they come in and they're talking about their real life mental health struggles that they're still having. And so that bankrupts the story for the person sitting there thinking their problems are unique or that they're alone. And that's what we're here to tell you, that you're not alone.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just bringing that story back up kind of ties everything together, right? Because through me being vulnerable and making that choice that one time ultimately led me to my purpose.
Wow.
And like, and you look at the power of like small individual choices, like there was people with the Raiders at that time that were, as I was going to do this interview portion, I was just going there to talk and just keep it real about where I had been. And there are people like, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to share. And I was just kind of like, I mean, I'm not like that fear and that just that weight of just like that shame wasn't there anymore. So I just went on there and talked and didn't think anything of it. And then next thing you know, it's just like I took Instagram one day and shit, my shit is flooded with people just like like you, like I thought about just taking the rest of the pills in this bottle and ending it, but I heard you say what you said and now I want to shift, now I want to pivot. And it's just like, whoa, I wasn't even looking for this. But just for somebody that's listening, like your decision to be vulnerable, who knows what type of scale it may be on or the ultimate impact it may have metric wise, whatever it may be, like the choice you make to be vulnerable is going to impact somebody somewhere in your world, in your sphere of influence in a way you can't even imagine. So just when it comes to making that choice, we hope that you will just show who you really are, the scars, the wounds, all of that, man, because it doesn't get easier, but you'll start to see that your life means that much more to you when you do it.
Hmm. Wow, man
so awesome. Good. I feel like we could go all day long with this. And BC, man, I feel like we're going to have you on multiple times, probably at least once a season for sure, because it's when I heard you talking, I mean, you're just speaking everything that we talk about. And Facts. Like I said in the intro, I think you just say it in a way that, your storytelling ability, just like your presence on camera and you're hearing your voice. I mean, I believe God speaks through the mouths of other people. Like that's where I hear it. And I believe that I can hear and see God through TikTok and, you know, and
dang.
It's beautiful to have those moments where it's just like this dude has something that I want. And that's what I think my superpower maybe has been, when somebody has something that I want, not the material shit. I'm talking about the inner stuff, the inner peace and the calm confidence and the knowing. I just get close to them, and you know, proximity is power. So here we are.
Yeah. I mean, that's your wisdom, bro. I mean, dude, if young people understood what you just said, it's, oh man, dude, you gotta, yeah, a lot of people think the success, they're like, man, if I could just get around these wealthy people, I could just get this knowledge and this wisdom. And then you're around them and you're like, oh, they've just been like playing the system. You're like, oh, these wealthy people are just kind of wealthy because they played the game, like the system. They kind of manipulated the system. And then you kind of go, that's not as cool. But then you get around embodied people, man, like my mentor and people I've like been mentored by. And you're just like, I'll just give a story, like, you know, a quick story about one of my mentors. He's written 3 New York best-time selling books. He's not really known like in the social media world because he doesn't have social media. That's how much he doesn't care about it. But his name's Tommy Spaulding. And he wrote a book about how he teaches CEOs of Fortune 500 companies how to love their employees better. Like that's this guy's level. Like he sits with like these billionaire CEOs and he teaches them how to love people better. And one time we're at this conference, and this was like a decade ago. So this was like way before vulnerability and masculinity was even a thing. And we're at this thing he's speaking at, and he's one of the keynote speakers. And there's all these businessmen in suits and ties. And it's this really, you know, massive event. And like I said, this was over a decade ago. And he sees one of his buddies, and after everyone's trying to get book signing and pictures with him, and he goes up and he grabs him by the face and just kisses him on each cheek. And he like kisses his cheek, and he just like his entire aura, like all these people were like around him. And I was like, did that guy just kiss a dude on his cheeks? And like around all these other successful businessmen in suit and ties. And I was like, man, I wish I could have that type of masculinity. And he's like, he's Italian, you know, like at heart, but he's not, you know, he's not from Italy, but he's like has this Italian heart. But it was just so the essence of what he brought into a room full of business card kind of men. And I was just like, dude, these men are trying to have these firm handshakes. And this guy just melted into a 5-year-old seeing his like lifelong best friend, kissed him on each cheek, and like his aura just surrounded him where all these people were around him and no one else existed. And I remember just being like, I was probably 22, 23, just being like, I want whatever that is. I want that. I was like, I want to figure out how to kiss a guy on his cheek in front of 150 men. And it's like, it's just, and it's, I don't know, man, it's just embodied. Like I said,
dude, tell the audience where they can track you down. What are you doing? What are your offerings? I mean, I feel like you're doing so much, and I know there's going to be listeners that are going to want more of you. So let them know where they can track you down.
Oh man, I appreciate that. I mean, right now it's just my social media is my name, BC Serna. And I just had another son. I have 2 kids. I have a 1-year-old and a 4-month-year-old. Crazy. But Yeah, man. So I'm not doing too much right now. I'm doing some one-on-one like mentorship, some coaching, a little bit of like potentially a men's retreat in January. So people just stay tuned. But right now, man, I'm just doing everything I can to just like spend as much quality time with my two sons. I never had being a dad on my vision board. But I knew I wanted to someday, but my purpose was always my message or my focus, my compass. And then when I was in the desert, this is the last story I'll tell. I know you guys are trying to wrap up, but I'm in the desert. And one night I am sitting there and I'm not on any medicines, but the moon comes up over this mountain range and it's this pink moon. It's the biggest moon I've ever seen. And I see it and like I just kind of start crying and get emotional. And it was weird because I never cried at the moon before. I didn't even think that was a thing. And I like went through this feminine portal of the moon, if that makes sense. And it was like the Holy Spirit in I don't know. I there's this term in the Christian called the Holy Spirit. And it's like, I realized the Holy Spirit was feminine. And I realized that all of us men came through a feminine portal. We came through our mom's feminine portal to get here. And so I went through this moon, this full moon, this feminine portal. And I started crying for all the feminine women that have changed my life. And like my mom, my sister, my grandma, and these women that I've also like women that I like didn't honor in a way that like was very honorable in my life. And so I cried on behalf of just like asking for forgiveness for them. And then God was just like, hey, idiot, if it's not your best friend, who else would it be? And at the time, Issa was my best friend, my partner. And LA is, I mean, Issa was my best friend and she's beautiful, but like LA is LA. Like I was like, I loved dating women in LA and I was still getting over a heartbreak. And so God's like, hey, idiot, if it's not your best friend, who else would it be? And I was like, that makes sense. So I called Issa. She was in Lebanon. That's where she's from. And she moved into my van with me. And we lived in my van for a year and then had a baby. And then I built out a school bus. And then we lived in a school bus. And then we had a second baby. And so this is our first house we've ever had in North Carolina. And we went from living in a van, starting our relationship, living in a van for a year, and then living in a tiny home and then a school bus. And for 2 months we've had our first house. So it's been a journey. Yeah, man.
That's wild. We just barely tapped into your story and all these other cool things you're doing and have done because you got just so much good quality wisdom. So yeah, we'll definitely have you back on. But thank you for being here. Thank you for making time. I'm so grateful that we've connected and I trust that our connection, the three of us, will only build from here.
Amen. Yo, I'm praying for you guys. And I'm so honored to be on this show with you guys. I'm so honored to be in your guys' presence. And man, I just can't imagine all the young boys listening to you guys, all the young men listening to you guys, and just finding hope, finding peace, finding clarity, and just hopefully feeling like their feet can touch the ground and just feeling like they're not alone. So I celebrate you guys and I just can't thank you guys enough. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, brother, man. Man, more than you know, bro. Like this is the true work. Like that what you're doing is helping men open their eyes to what they don't even know that they want, but deep down they truly will want one day, and know that will be something that will fill that void within them, bro. So for that, man, big time salute, bro. Thank you for your time, man.
Thanks, guys. Praying for you guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right, we're out, everybody.
Yes, sir, peace.
Sweet.
Comeback Stories is a production of Inflection Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more,
Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.